Imagine what it'd be like if we were really curious about each other.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Relational Spirituality, the weekly podcast of LargerStory.com, the podcast that sees all relationships as spiritual and all spiritual formation as relational. Now, here's your host for this week, Kep Crabb.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Relational Spirituality, a podcast brought to you by Larger Story. I'm your host, Kep Crabb, and I am joined today by my good friend, Roosevelt Leslie. And Rose and I have been chatting through some of these seven questions, and so I thought let's bring Rose on and talk about question four today. We've each month, just Leslie, Rose, let me just catch you up on what we've been doing, bro, is each month we're taking a question. The first question is, who is God? And January, we dove into that question with a number of different people. The next month, February, last month, was what's God up to? We talked to people about that. The next question is, who are we? And that's what we've talked about this last month in March. And then you and I now are going to start chatting today a little bit about what's gone wrong. And the big fancy word for that question is hamartiology. And the definition of hamartiology, I pulled it up for you, is real interesting. It's interesting. It's a branch of Christian theology, which is the study of sin. Describes sin as the act of offense against God by despising his persons and Christian biblical law and by injuring others. Christian hamartiology is closely related to concepts of natural law, moral theology, and Christian ethics. So it's really the study of sin, the understanding of sin. There's a word you don't hear much of today, huh?
Very true. Very true.
So as you think about what's gone wrong, where does your mind initially go as we start to think about this fourth question of the seven questions of spiritual theology?
Yeah, for me personally, yeah, thanks for the opportunity to jump on with you. And
you're welcome, bro. Thank you.
Yeah. This is a great question of consideration. And I think the other questions really build upon this one, because as we discover who God is and who we are as people, I think we get largely a false confidence in like who we are and our accomplishments. And that opens up a huge door to sin and to building faith and trust in ourselves and not God. So it moves us further away from God, which opens up the door for sin. And from there, I think we begin to really reject God and declare our own independence.
As you say that, it brings me back to, where did it all start? Because what went wrong? Why did the Father have to send the Son? Or why did the Son agree to go to the cross? Because he knew that's the only way that things could be fixed because of what's gone wrong. We talk about sin. You were just talking about sin. When was the first sin? As you start to think about that, it wasn't in the garden when the serpent tempted Eve initially and then Adam. I think the first sin was in heaven.
Sure. When
Satan said, I want to be like you.
Yes, sir.
And this is the question, Rose, to me, that kind of really starts to work into the whole cultural problems that we're running into, especially here in the West. You don't hear the term sin very often, because whatever you feel good, it feels good to do this and it feels good to do that, even though those are sinful. So
sure.
When you start talking about what's gone wrong, I think we have to start looking at what's gone wrong inside of ourselves.
Definitely.
It's the flesh.
For sure.
Say about that.
Yeah, for me personally, I was just doing a personal Bible study, a reflection on Philippians. And in Philippians 2, Paul says, encourages us to continue to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so I think that the fear and awing God, lost it in our culture. And if you look at the different aspects, sports or politics, our major pillars of society have really gone awry to fearing God and even questioning our own identities. And pretty much whatever, if we don't build our trust and hope in God, everything will falter. That's for me personally, like me as a dad, as a coach, I think we become really playing in the devil's territory if we don't honor God in all that we do and say. and yeah. we lose reverence. We stop worshiping him in our acts. And this causes many problems. Identity. You look at the crazy stuff that's going on in our world with people wanting like sex changes. We're willing to do whatever it takes and on our own accord, which we're going wrong in a lot of aspects for sure.
Really seems like we're off track.
Definitely.
A lot of real ways, which is the title of the next book that we've got coming out here that Dad wrote. And we're just finishing it up now, getting ready to have this come out. So it's exciting to think about. But as you think about what's gone wrong, I remember there was a story Dad used to tell about a group of theologians and studied people in Europe, I think this was in England. And yeah. and that was the question that they asked was, what's gone wrong? To this group of people, they were assigned to, I think, write a paper on it or something like that. And I can't remember who it was, but it was a famous person who just wrote two words. And he said, I am. And that's what's gone wrong, is we're letting ourselves, again, the same thing. The original sin goes back to heaven when Lucifer says to the Father, I want to be like you. I want to be God, and waves his fist in the face of God, which is what we do oftentimes when we say things, when you start talking about gender changes and all of those kind of things that become very complex. And it's amazing how Satan has just woven these things into a way that now it's so pervasive and so in your face and not considered wrong in any way. And you don't see the damage. The Bible also talks about sin is fun for a season, but it doesn't last. And it's what separates us from God. Mm. So start to think about what's gone wrong. We are. We're what's wrong. And that's why Jesus had to come to save us from our sins.
For sure. Yeah, I know it's been 3 years since your dad's passing. And I remember over 20 years having a conversation with him when I was in college on a freshman retreat. And man, he's just done a lot with just this concept of just sin and who we are in Christ. And I definitely have enjoyed his readings and diving into some of his books. And yeah, it's interesting that you say the I am culture. We flip that because originally when you look into the text and the biblical concepts, that term Yahweh, the I am, it's initially supposed to be God and reverencing God. And so we flip that into us being the I am. And so that's a huge downfall. We're trying to find a prescription for that. And it's definitely not like more of ourselves. I think the antidote really is to put God back into the culture, starting with our own personal lives, whether that be devotions or helping out in the community. But we definitely need to prescribe more of God into our own lives and to other people, help infuse Christ into wherever we are, whether that's the workplace, mentoring others. And I like that concept that you mentioned, asking the question to theologians. And that's the model of Jesus, is really, really challenging the culture, whether that be where he did it in the synagogues. We can do it in our everyday workplaces, our families, really infusing God back into its initial state.
I love the story that you tell about Dad, and I know you've had a chance to interact with him. It's been 3 years, you're right. And what he talked about in respect to what's gone wrong is this anti-God virus that we have in us, that we're born with because of the fall. Mm. And I think that we take that a little bit too lightly sometimes. And that's the whole notion of what we see in today's culture, is the whole notion, like we said earlier, of sin just not being relevant. There's things that scriptures clearly indicate as being missing the mark. And we all miss the mark. All of us sin and are deserving of hell. But because of Jesus, we don't have to have that. And when we have the Holy Spirit in us, you talk about the antidote, you said antidote, and I love that word. But the problem is that the antidote doesn't totally fix it, because you still have that spirit-flesh battle. We still battle with sin. And Dad used to love to talk about the whole concept of relational sin. If it's anything you could do with crab, you could put the word relational in front of it. Relational holiness, relational friendship, relational. And you and I have talked about this. Because this whole life is meant really for one thing. And that's relationship. And that's really all you take. And why is there so much challenge with that today, Rose? And that's my question is, you've been through it. You're old enough now to have seen relational tensions in a lot of different places where people just can't seem to get along. How does that happen? And why is that so prevalent where all of us battle these relational struggles when we're trying to relate in a way that puts Jesus on display and it seems like we just fail miserably?
Yeah, to be honest, we're in the me culture, which is hurting us so much on the individual basis in our churches. As I mentioned before, sports and even team cultures, everyone's trying to gravitate towards the top. And so there's several instances in the Bible where you see that goes awry real quick. And unfortunately, with that selfish mentality, with the selfishness that we're in, we're willing to push other brothers down just to get what we think is like our props or be at the top, whether that's being a CEO or management. We're at a whatever it takes mentality and society. But as believers, we definitely can't buy into that culture. We got to bring others up with us. So for me, that means like doing that at my home, creating vibes where the Bible's at the forefront, creating men. I have two sons and married, being the husband that I need to be, the coach, as I lead my team, over 50 players and with our four teams. Man, the goal shouldn't be me. It should be bringing others up into God-fearing ways to restore character back into our community. And if you look at the Bible, like instances like the Tower of Babel, trying to reach the top, and God just does not approve of that. You look at like Matthew 4, when Satan is tempting Jesus himself, people are just willing to do, and Satan's using his spirit to tear down the works of the kingdom.
Yeah. I love those examples. Rose, you and I have known each other for a while, and it's been fun to see your development, not just as a husband and a father, but just as a believer and a brother. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed about the conversations that we have, and even these kind of conversations when I've asked you to come on and do a podcast show with me and just chat about life, is you come at it from a very practical perspective. And oftentimes these tend to be very ethereal, theological positions, but you talk about, what do? How do you put the rubber on the road? And you're a husband, you're a father, you're a son, you're a coach, you're a friend, you're a confidant. And how do you really move into someone's life with the whole notion of relationality? The whole thought of how do I get to know you better in a way that lets Christ, who is in me, come out to give you an opportunity to know Jesus a little better by how I'm treating you?
Yeah, it gets really tough when you dive into research and education. But to be honest, you just have to put all that aside and just do life with people and put pride aside and really jump in the boat and paddle together. I think, as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. We all can learn from anyone in life. And that whether that's me learning from one of my players or one of my sons, we can't be. That's what got Satan in trouble in the beginning, as you mentioned, that pride and him wanting Christ's position. And so I think just staying humble, doing life just day to day with people, encouraging others, learning from others. We all have our value, and we don't have to be. I like to tell my players, just be stars in your own role and accept that. Learn your identity, as one of your other questions is, learn who God is, but incorporate that in everyday life with doing life with other people, encouraging one another. Basically, stay God-fearing, not putting yourself on high pedestals, and just being humble, taking taking life one day at a time.
You're a good example of all that, my friend. And it's fun to be on the journey with you as we wrestle through this crazy life that has ups and downs, the wins and the losses, if you use the coaching terminology. Sure. And I love to think about these thoughts with you. And I just can tell you that you encourage me when I hear you talking and hear what you're doing as you're pouring into some of these young kids' lives, because that has such eternal value in so many ways. And I'm just so grateful to know you on that. Rose, this has been a fun conversation, bro. I love talking about this kind of stuff. Is there anything more you want? With what's gone wrong, I think we've established the thought of It's us. Since the fall, we have a God-hating virus in us.
For sure.
And that's the self. But now that we have the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to do battle with that flesh. You can see that happening. And I see that happening in your life all the time, bro. I love that battle that's happening. I hope you see it in mine as well as we journey together and try to encourage each other. So, folks, thanks for watching today. As Rose and I were just chatting about the question number four, as we step into the fourth month here of the year in April, thinking about what's really gone wrong. Before we close, let me read something that Dad put together years ago as he thought about these seven questions of spiritual theology. But when it came to what's gone wrong, he said, we reject God, declaring our independence. We are thus infected with an anti-God virus, what we were talking about, that pushes us to live our lives as if God does not exist, unless God is willing to go along with and support our plans. And we're not part of our story. We're part of his larger story. Our smaller stories fit into his larger story. And I think the thing you said, Rose, that got me was the whole notion of being humble and accepting your role and moving into that in a way that you have confidence in Christ as you move into people's lives. So you continue to encourage me, my friend. And I love chatting with you. And I hope you have a great week. And thanks for joining me today, Rose.
All right. Thank you. It's a great pleasure.
If you like what you heard today, hit the like button just below. Then come back by subscribing to our podcast channel. For more resources on relational spirituality, go to our website at largerstory.com.